wow, we're really sort of got an exodus there with the kids departing. But, you know, we have to stand in faith so many times. And we have to stand in faith in saying what we know and what we believe. It's interesting that I was both Kerry and Lek talking to them this week. I don't pray now without any, what's the word? Like, you know, sometimes you sort of, you have an uncertainty about where you're going with your prayer, maybe, or whether God's going to answer it. But, you know, I think where God's taken us lately, I've found a new boldness, a new confidence, a new assurance, and a new level of expectancy in God. I'm finding now that whenever I'm praying for people or praying for something, I don't expect anything but results. I don't sit back and think, that's not it. And I'm totally confident that if we pray according to His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, we have the petitions we've desired of Him. And I think that scripture's been thrown around and thrown around, but really, do we believe that to the extent when we pray that we are confident that there's a result? And I think sometimes in the past I've had, oh gee, I never saw anything. And I've actually let my blabber mouth undo what I've been praying because I've nullified it by my negativity. But now it's just confidence. Okay, I haven't seen it yet, but I know it's happening. I haven't seen and when I do see it happen, I say, I knew that. No, not arrogantly, but inside it's a, come on, God, absolutely. But I pray with an assurance that there's a result, either in transition or happening, or we'll be there soon. We need to be like that. And if we have that boldness and that assurance, that confidence in God, we need to be there. And like Kerry was saying a little earlier, Christians have a total capacity to believe God that their sins are forgiven. The amount of people that I've spoken to and shared testimonies of healing or shared my own life where God's worked miracles, oh yeah, but God probably wouldn't do that for me. And I'm not talking unsaved, I'm talking Christians. Why not? Why not? And then there are times when there are ongoing attacks, and I don't know why there are ongoing attacks every time, and I don't want to make excuses, and nor do I want to put any condemnation on anybody. But we have to overcome those. We have to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the armor of God and withstand against all the wiles of the devil, and having done all, stand. You know, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. Well, man, if ever there's an evil day we need to stand in, it's probably now. But we need to stand true. We need to stand strong. And I'm not going to labor this too much, but I think Christians have forgotten how to stand. We have to learn to stand strong and stand strong. And sometimes we need to teach others how to stand. We need to be able to do that in the love of God and in grace and in mercy. And it's we can't be a, you know, you got to, you should have, or whatever. Can I help you? Can I stand with you? Can I work with you? The Bible says, if any two shall agree as touching anything on earth, can I pray with you? Can I attach my faith to yours? Can I help in this situation? I really believe we're going to see God move in people's lives as we become part of the answer. I really believe that. And we've got a couple of prayer requests today. We've got one from Fritz. I don't know whether mum related or dad related, whichever way, but he's obviously found a journey up to Jarvis Bay, and he's, you know, having a great time up there, and I know that they've been enjoying holidays, but for some reason there's been an attack again on his heart going out of rhythm. It happened recently, and he had to go and get the jump start, as I call it, to get the heart back into rhythm, and he's up there now and it's not good. Chris is a bit stressed out. So can we stand in prayer together and agree? And Carol's at home with a attack on her throat. Are there any other needs while I'm praying? that we need to bring before the throne of grace that we're aware of. For?
Nancy.
For Nancy.
Yeah, she's not well.
Not well. Wow. All right. Let's bring Nancy before the throne of grace. Sorry?
She's accepted with Hashimoto's, but you know what? Her thyroid needs renewing.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's like you said earlier, Kez, we believe for salvation and forgiveness of sin. We've got to believe for healing. Because in Psalm 103, it says he forgives all our iniquities. Oh, Lord, thank you for salvation. He heals all your diseases.
In the same scripture.
Yeah. And there's so much. And the provision of the cross. If we understand the provision of the cross through that, what was the stones rolled away. Yeah, mate. Get out of here, please. Stand with me. Yep, definitely. Can't have a man that runs with a sore ankle. Can we? Bless God. All right, well, we're going to lift up Nancy. We're going to lift up Carol. We're going to lift up Fritz and pray then again also for this young man. I know when he responded to God the other day, God gave me a strong word. That response drew God into him and his response. And there's an awesome power in that, mate. There really, really is. It's come to God first, but yeah. So we're going to agree together for these three that aren't here, and we're going to pray for Jonty. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up those who need your healing in their lives. And as your word declares, by your stripes we are healed. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against the throat infection in Carol's body. We stand here and declare that throat infection dead and gone. We rebuke the life that has caused that. We rebuke the entry part of her life that has brought that in there. And we bind it, we close it down in the name of Jesus and command healing to take place in her body. Father, we thank you for it. We lift Fritz up before you now in the name of Jesus. And this heart issue, Lord God, we believe will stop and cease now in the name of Jesus. Father, we rebuke its return. We rebuke its reoccurrence. We stand against it in the name of Jesus, and we declare complete healing, restoration, and wholeness in Fritz's body and his heart condition to be made strong, renewed, and restored in the name of Jesus, and no longer to return. Never again we bind you and resist you and command that you no longer attack this man's body in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for Nancy. We lift her before you in the name of Jesus. Father, we know that there are many issues that attack our bodies and we come against them in this woman's body in the name of Jesus. Thyroid, you get healed, restored and made whole in the name of Jesus. Every other issue of health and well-being that is not hers, I pray now in the name of Jesus that it come into her body and that everything that is not right, everything that is out of order, everything that is just bringing her down in her health issues, you go, you leave in the name of Jesus. We command wholeness, restoration and healing to come into your daughter's body now in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we lift them up before you now in faith, believing that not only do you heal us, that you give us salvation, but you heal us from all diseases. And so we declare that over your people now in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, as I lay hands on Jonty, which ankle, mate? That one? It's okay, just settle down, relax, it's fine. You know, the guy at the temple gate that was crippled, and when they took him by the hand and lifted him up, the Bible says immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Woohoo! And he got up walking and leaping and praising God. Oh, glory, glory to God. Come on. In the name of Jesus, we command complete wholeness and healing in this ankle and in this situation. Lord, these feet and ankle bones receive strength. Lord, that not only will he walk, but he'll run. Not only will he run, but he'll leap and praise God. And Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for total wholeness, total healing, total restoration. We speak to these bones to be totally solidified back in their joints. Just as it was when they saw the dry bones in the valley and they all went back to their rightful place in correct order, we command that same correct order of these bones and this ankle in the glorious and the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Man, feel the impartation. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for it and praise you. Glory to God. Okay, now you start walking and leaping and praising God. Man, that's good. Bless God. Immediately, they say these feet and ankle bones receive strength. And I believe them for that in the name of Jesus. Wholeness. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to just quickly share a couple of things. And I've got no notes up on the screen. If you've got your Bible or your whatever you use to refer to, there's just a couple of scriptures I'm going to refer to and just bring out a couple of principles that are so strong that God has brought to my attention. And I believe that in the realms of fruitfulness in our lives, where God is developing our lives to be fruitful for Him, there's never a time when that stops. There's never a time that stops. I'm learning a lot from pruning fruit trees, from picking fruit, from seeing things happen in the natural. There's so much that happens in the natural that has a spiritual parallel, that has a spiritual significance, and we need to glean from that. And you know, as God has taken us through things of fruitfulness recently, it's been amazing to hear and see so much of what God is. Go away. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Some of these things are so frustrating. Especially when you go into a Bible app and all you get is ads, and ads have got nothing to do with the things of God. So frustrating. Back in the book of Genesis. Turn to Genesis with me. I'm pretty sure it's 26. I'm just going to have a quick look in there. And this is where, I think it's further down. Okay, we're going back down to verse 18. Isaac, in the land that he was in, dug the wells of water which had been dug in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them. Obviously, refilled them and stopped the water flowing after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. So when it was funny how every time they dug a well in that time, they named it. It's interesting, they named it. There was a point of reference there. There was always something they could go back to get a reference to and from in that particular region. And if ever you know or look through the scriptures, whenever they moved, the first thing they did was dig a well. Whenever they established an area, they dug a well. They wanted to ensure there was life and sustenance there for themselves and for their crops and for their animals. But they called them by name. It's rather interesting how they called them all by name, and he renamed them the name that his father gave them. And they obviously had some significance to that. And I'm not going to get into that now. And Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found the wellspring, or well of springing water. But there were other people in that region. Now, this region had a lot of water available. Actually, there were other water facilities there. But the herdsmen of Gear came in and said to Isaac, "Your guys have dug a well. right in our area, and that water belongs to us. And so there was contention between Isaac and his people and the other people. And so he called that well a name because they were contentious and strove with him. So he moved on and dug another well. And they strove for that also, and he called that by another name, Semar. So he moved on from there and dug another well, and for that there was no strife, and they strove not, and he called the name of that Rehoboth. And he said, now for the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Whew. Isn't that amazing? Firstly, he digs a well as a contention. I mean, sometimes we dig wells, we probably dig them in the wrong place. Or we dig them in a place of conflict or potential conflict and we're not even aware of it. We've got to really be careful sometimes if we dig a well that we're not creating problems for other people or it's going to create them looking at us badly. Digging a well is not a problem. Getting a water, getting life, getting flowing life there is good. But I said to the Lord, I said, how does this happen if we're digging wells in our lives that there can be contention? And it's usually through misunderstanding or through a lack of judgment, or there can be in a lack of wisdom on our part. Lack of wisdom on our part. I thought, I've been thinking through that, but Isaac didn't bother contending back. Did you notice that? Isaac just went, it's cool, guys. Don't want a disruption. It's fine. Don't want to upset the apple cart. Went and dug another well. And then they come along. Hey, hang on a minute. That's our water. That's all within our region. Did Isaac fight again? No, he didn't. And so he moved on and he went to another place and dug a well and there was no contention there. And he lived there fruitfully with the water and the spring of that for both his family, his crops, and for his animals. I think sometimes when we do things, we tend to want to put an ownership on it. And even though he named both wells, he named them after the situation of contention, saying, "Ha, he could refer to that, and he could refer to that, and not go back to it." He was aware of where there was contention going to be raised. And he didn't go back to it, and he didn't go back to it. He just said, "Guys, I'm not rocking the boat." He didn't even argue with the herdsmen of the region in here. There's no point of fighting back. He purely went and said, "It's cool. We'll just move over here." And over he went and dug another well, and there was another lot of springing water, and there was no contention, and he built and stayed there. I am blown away by that because he had no intention of creating a problem. He had no intention of fighting back. I think sometimes in our life we want to do things and we're so stubborn and people want to get it. We'll fight for our rights or we'll fight for this or fight for that. And we create a worse situation than if we just said, "All right, I can move, I can change, I can alter." And basically I think as was scripture that Lexi throws at me all the time, "As much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men." After I knock them out. No. "As much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men." And I'm learning from Isaac here that he dug a well. He had every right to the water. He dug that well. In fact, they were wells that his father Abraham had dug. They were wells that were named by Abraham, but then they dug in these other areas and they got these wells there, and he named them differently because he didn't want them to be a place that they went back to again. Don't go to these two, whatever the names of them were. But then he moves on to Beersheba, and and dug another well, and there was no strife, for that was Rehoboam. And he went up from there to Beersheba, this is in verse 23. And the Lord appeared to him that same night and said, I am the God of Abraham your father, fear not, for I am with you, and I will bless you and multiply your seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord and pitched his tent. And there Isaac's servant again dug another well. In the situations of where they dig wells, it absolutely is amazing. They need it for their own life and sustenance, obviously. But they dug wells, they named the wells, and they glorified God. They put up altars, they worshiped God, and they made that place a place of absolute blessing and refreshing, a place where life poured out. And I think if we're going to build for the kingdom of God in any way, shape, or form, if we're building for the kingdom, sometimes it's difficult if we get out there in the streets and we do things, there's contention, there's striving, there's issues, there's problems that we have to be careful of. And I think if we're going to dig a well of life in a city, if we're going to dig for the kingdom of God in an area, it's difficult not to create some form of contention with people. But we really have to walk in the wisdom of God. And I think taking it before the Lord, when they finally dug this last well, God says, come in, and he says, I will bless you. I will make you fruitful. You've been peaceable. You've been right. And I'll do it for my father Abraham's sake, for your father Abraham's sake, because Abraham had a covenant with God. Isaac probably didn't walk fully in that covenant, or he knew, didn't know it fully. But when he got to this point and God appeared to him and God told him what he was doing, they rejoiced. They worshiped God. They built an altar. And I really think that the application in our lives in building a well has ongoing consequences, not only for us, or blessings for us, depending on how it's built and where it's built and what it does. Jacob built a well. And this is going over to Genesis 48. When Jacob built a well, I've got to find this one here too in this scripture. Whereabouts is that? Can anyone see that in that book there? No, this is when Jacob's got old. I've got the wrong reference. But Jacob built a well also. And it was actually known as Jacob's well for over two centuries or more. But even at the time when Christ came along, Jacob built a well as well, dug a well that was very significant. And of Jacob's well, it not only provided for Jacob, it provided for generations. Now let's look at the well of Isaac. He provided for him and his crowd and his family and his animals. Jacob dug a well. The well actually survived right up to the time of Christ, which if you took it, it's almost two centuries. Or not two millenniums. 2,000 years. Virtually 1,800 years later, roughly 18 approximately, if you took it into the biblical framework of time, Jesus comes along, and that same well that Jacob dug two centuries earlier, he comes along, sits on, and he meets a Samaritan woman. And he shares with her about who he was. Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us this well? How can you give me water? You got nothing to draw with. And all this sort of thing went on in the discussions. And then he talked to her about her life, and she runs into town and brings people out. You know the story. And reveals the kingdom of God to them. I want to just quickly relay this to what Paul said. When we're talking of the kingdom of God and preaching the gospel, Paul said, one plants, another waters, God gives the increase. In Jacob's situation, Jacob dug, 2,000 years of generations of people drew from that water. It watered many people. Then Jesus meets a Samaritan woman and declares the kingdom of God. God uses it for increase. And I think sometimes if we're going to be like anything in the way of Scripture's fruitfulness, and I'm only giving you a few thoughts on this right now, we need to look at it from a couple of perspectives. When we dig a well, dig it well. When we dig a well, dig it well. Don't dig it in the wrong place and don't create issues and problems. But if we're going to dig a well, it can be in our marriage. It can be in our business. It can be in our sporting fields. It can be in our career. It can be in any way, shape, or form that we need to dig a well in lives. And especially with our families, we need to dig it well. If we're going to dig a well, dig it well. So if we dig it well, what are we looking at when we're digging it? Is it just for our initial benefit or for us? Will it have a greater benefit to others? I wonder what Jacob was thinking when he dug that well. He may not have even had any idea that that well would serve generations. He probably had no idea that that well that he dug was going to be there for God to use for his kingdom later on. He didn't have any idea what generations of fruitfulness it would serve. He probably had no idea when he dug that hole and found water. He probably went, yeah, got water, let's camp here. That's usually what they did. If they didn't find water, they moved somewhere else and they camped somewhere else. But he actually found that well there, and then God used it for generations. God kept it alive. It found, had water. It watered the land. It watered crops. It watered people's lives. It watered the animals. And then Jesus came along, and it was watering the Samaritans, because that's where it was at the time, and that's where it was when Jesus came along. It was in Samaria. He must pass through Samaria. No, he could have gone another way, but his intent was, I must pass through Samaria. And he came across Jacob's well, and he sat on the well. And it was interesting when Darren took communion, he said the angel sat on the rock. Sitting down is a point of rest after victory. Sitting down is a point of expecting and waiting on God. Sitting down is a place where you finish from your own works. And you're doing it for other people, or you're doing it for their benefit. But in this situation, Jesus was tired. And Jesus comes along and he sits at the side of the well. He's a bit weary, a bit thirsty. And a woman comes along and he says, woman, give me a drink. Who do you think you are? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. We have no dealings with each other. He wasn't interested in any of that. In fact, even the point of contention there, he totally diffused it. And he talked to her about what the kingdom of God was all about and brought the life of God into that situation. And then just change it completely. So as Jacob dug, many drew the water, and the kingdom of God was benefited from it. We need to ensure that what we dig in our lives, are we going to dig a well? Well, is the life of God going to flow out? Jesus said, if you drink of the water I shall give, it shall be in you, springing up into everlasting torment, contention, arguments, everything else, or it's everlasting life, 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 life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it to you in abundance. And so that life that we dig in the wells of our, every facet of our life, and it doesn't matter what we do, do it as unto the Lord, where we, at work, at home, in our family, in our marriage, if it's a business, if it's in sporting events, if it's in any other aspect of life's interests, dig a well, and allow that well to be a benefit not only for us and our lives, but for generations to glean from, to draw from, to learn from, and to see the life of God in it. Because ultimately the fruitfulness of all of that is the benefit and the enhancement of God's kingdom in the lives of men and women everywhere. It really, really pays to dig a well. I think we don't know, a lot of people have no idea how to dig a well. They just start doing something, or they'll get a project, or they'll get something here, and it's all to do about the time that they're in, and if they lose interest in that, they'll run off to something else. No, if we're going to dig a well, refer back to it. Make it builder. Put an altar in it as well. Make it an altar in your life, so that ultimately the kingdom of God is the beneficiary, and the fruitfulness of that will tell stories and show us that God is exactly what that song said. Faithful, and continually faithful, and never failing in his faithfulness. That's what a well that is dug well will do. Bring the faithfulness of God to full fruition in our lives, so our lives are then full fruition for his kingdom. Amen? That's all I was sharing today, because I didn't really believe that God wanted to take it any further, and especially the way it went. I had something else totally prepared. But it changed. That's 3 weeks in a row God's done that, or four, whatever time. But I believe it's God just saying what he wants to say at the time. And we want to hear what God says. We really do. So bless God. Have an awesome, wonderful week. Where are we at, Kerry? We've got...